Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. John Reynolds, pastor of Volusia County Baptist Church in Orange City, Florida. The title of his message is Being Giant Killers. The text is from 2 Samuel 21, verses 15 through 22.
Well, I appreciate being here. I'm thankful for the invitation from Dr. Bob to be here. I always understand what the situation is whenever a fellow invites you and then he makes sure he's out of town when you show up. You know he's a little uncomfortable about what's going to go on, but I appreciate the kindness of my host this week and your kindness in being here and being such a receptive group of people. I appreciate Dr. Wood. I thank God for his longevity. And I appreciate that and trust that he'll live to be very, very old. Fact is, I don't want him to die, because if he dies, I'll be the ugliest man alive. And don't worry, there's too many names for him to take names. He can't take all your names. Oh, my. But it is a delight to be here, and I appreciate so very, very much. I'm glad that we're through a lot of the things in our country and many things that are still needed in our presidents. So we need prayer for our president and all of our leaders. And the situation in Iraq and around the world and the situation in the Middle East, I appreciate the good job our president is doing. I'm thankful for him. I don't know much about politicians. I know many of you are probably taking political science, and that's good, and that's fine. And you probably already know this. If you're not in that course, you may not know the definition. But politics is an interesting thing. Fact is, the word itself is an interesting thing. It's a combination of two Latin words. Politics, a combination of two Latin words. Poly, meaning many, and ticks, meaning bloodsuckers. And open your Bible to the book of 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Now, if you know your book, you know in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we have a young man journeying from Bethlehem over to the valley of Elah. And Elah is simply a valley with a stream running through it that is active only in the wet season there in Israel. Had the privilege of being there in November, going back in March, and walking into that dry riverbed and picking up the stones as David did as he went to face Goliath. And you know the story. You know the technique of Goliath. He comes out and he yells a challenge to the people of God, to the armies of God. Give me somebody to come fight. David shows up to minister his brothers and bring gifts from his father to the king. All of those things. And David said, "Who is this guy? What's he doing?" And they begin to explain to him what the king has promised to anybody that will go fight this fellow. And David said, "Man, I'll fight him." He said, "Tell me again, what is he going to get?" Oh, he said, "You're going to get the king's daughter to marry, and you're going to get lovely gifts and much money and all these kinds of..." He said, "Man, I can handle it. I'll do that." There's no foolishness like the foolishness of youth. And I enjoy that and somewhat envy that and look back on it with great memories. But he says, "I'll handle it." And you know the story. He did. He did. Beautiful picture of it is, he went into the valley of death. Saul should have been the one to go in that valley. But Saul didn't go in the valley. David had to go in the valley. And as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, David went into the valley of death on behalf of Saul and came out with the victory. Came out with the victory. David's a young man there. But whenever we come to 2 Samuel chapter 21... he's an old man. Some people have presumed about it. He picked up 5 smooth stones. If he had faith, there wasn't going to be room to get off more than one shot. There wasn't going to be time to get off more than one shot. Why'd he pick up 5? I don't know. Somebody said the giant had 4 brothers back home. He thought he might have to fight them. I don't know what the relationship was. It seems to be indicated here. But there are 4 giants here in the end of chapter 21 of 2 Samuel, beginning in verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbibenob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abisha, the son of Zeruiah, succored him or helped him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Now look up if you're reading. Look up. Let me say this. Just come aside to say this. David stayed home from battle one time. And in that time there came a sin in his life that is remembered to today, to almost the first thing you think about when you think of David, simply because of the nature of his sin, almost the first thing you think about is Bathsheba. He stayed home from battle when he should have been in battle. But to his credit, it seems from the Word of God, he never stayed home again. Wise is the man. Wise is the woman that knows the place of their temptation, and they do not submit themselves to it. They stay away from that place. David did that. We come back to verse 18. And it came to pass after this, there was yet again a battle with the Philistines at Gob, when Sibbecai the Hushathite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. There was yet again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jeroboam, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature. He had on every hand 6 fingers, on every foot 6 toes. He could count higher than most of them. 24 in number. He also was born to the giant, and when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath, and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. I speak to you today about being giant killers. Now, giants in the Word of God represent to us certain things. Giants do certain things. Giants intimidate the people of God. That's what was happening at the Valley of Elah whenever David went there, and the armies of the Philistines were there on one side of the valley, the army of the Israelites on the other side of the valley, and Goliath intimidates the people of God. And they tremble at his voice. The devil loves it when he can, with one of his giants, intimidate the people of God. But not only does he intimidate the people of God, he insults the power of God. He curses them by the name of his gods. And he says to them, if your God is such a great God, why can't he give you the victory? And he insults the power of God. But he also impedes the progress of God's work. Because when God's people are intimidated by the devil's giant, the work does not move forward and the kingdom is not advanced. He impedes the progress of God's work. That happened in the conflict at Elah. That happened when Saul was there, intimidated by the giant. The cause of God was not moving forward. Now, I don't know what the giant in your life may be. The giant in your life may be a sin. It may be something that it just seems you cannot get the victory over. It may be something that it seems like you have come to the place in your life where you thought you had the victory over that, and you did for a while, and just drug you back under and grabbed hold of you and pulled you back under, and you were defeated. I don't know what it may be. It may be a sin. It may be an area of service. An area of service. Maybe God has called you, and you feel that God has called you to some place, and that just intimidates you. Just thinking about doing that intimidates you. And it's a giant in your life. And you just can't get past that. And you do not feel a freedom in God's service. You do not feel a freedom in God's work, because you feel that there's something that God wants you to do, but it just intimidates you. And you're afraid that that's what God wants you to do. And you don't want to surrender to it. It's just a giant in your life. It may be a situation in your life. It may be a situation in the dorm. It may be a situation in your class. It may be a situation at home. It may be a situation at work. But it just seems like that thing is huge in your life. And every time it seems like your life is going to move forward for the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil dangles that thing in your face, intimidates you with it, and insults God's power and keeps you from moving forward. Now, dearly beloved, we do not ask for little battles. We ask for great battles. We are to be giant killers. That's what we're to do. But I want you to learn quickly some principles about this matter of killing giants. Number one, in the matter of killing giants, you need to understand that not all giants are killed in one battle. Do you see that David, in his early years, faced a giant named Goliath? As a kid, he faced a giant named Goliath. Now, he had some experience in dealing with difficult situations. He had faced a bear, and he had faced a lion that was going to take one of the sheep from his father's flock. Now, I want you to know something. Think about this. I do not believe that Jesse would have been upset with David if David had come back and said, "Father, there's one of the sheep that has been taken. A lion came and stole one of the sheep. And I did what I could, Father, but there was nothing I could do to prevent that." But David did not do that, though his area of responsibility was frowned upon by his older brother, and they depreciated what he did as his position in the home. They called him, "What are you doing out here at battle? Why aren't you back with those few sheep?" Well, he was there because his daddy had sent him. He didn't bother to answer him and answer him according to what they said. But he took responsibility seriously, even though his other people did not think his job was too important. The job he had, he took seriously. No one would have faulted him if he had let that bear go with one of the sheep. No one would have faulted him if he had let the lion go. But he didn't. He stood for that. And in that experience, whenever it came to facing the giant, he said, "God help me in that situation. God will help me in this situation." He faced that giant in his youth. But even in his old age, there was another giant to face. All giants are not killed in the same battle. Some of you are old enough to have been in a situation whenever you got saved that there were some situations in your life that perhaps intimidated you from getting saved, because you said, "I can't get saved because I won't be able to have victory over this thing in my life. I know I just won't do it." And whenever you finally trusted the Lord as your Savior and you got saved, there came a victory over that thing in your life. And you said, "Wow, this is great. I had no idea it would be this easy." And somehow, from there on in, you thought it was just going to be flower-strewn pathways all the way through. And it was just going to be fun and joy all the time. And all of a sudden, you woke up one morning and bang, there was another giant you had not anticipated. Understand this. You will be deceived if you think that all giants are killed in one battle. You can expect a giant just around the corner. Do you know that everybody is either in trouble, just coming out of trouble, or getting ready to go into trouble. We're all troubled. We all have difficulties. There are giants to face. Number two, not all giants use the same tactics. Did you notice that phrase there in 2 Samuel chapter 21? Where it said, Ishbibenob had girded himself with a new sword. He had gotten a new weapon. He had gotten a different kind of weapon. All giants don't use the same tactics. Goliath came out. He came out open and shouted at the people of God. You bunch of chickens. I don't know, what word do you use now? Ah, you're not going to tell me. Whatever word it is. You bunch of wimps. Come fight me. Somebody come fight me. And he yelled at him and hollered at him, intimidated him. That was his tactic. Ishbibenob had a different tactic. How in the world this giant of a man got past the front lines, got past the second lines, and got back to command headquarters where David was, I have no idea. But this giant was a sneaky rascal. He was not one that came out open and yelled out in defiance and cried out and let everybody know where he was. He was quiet and sneaky and subtle and slipped around and thought to take David from the blind side. Not all giants use the same tactics. Some of you may work in a place where people laugh at you. And there may be one person that laughs at you at work and says, ah, look at that. Comes lunchtime. You open your lunch. Watch the preacher over there. Or watch Miss Goody Two Shoes. They'll probably bow their head. They'll probably pray. Why, hey, everybody, look. Look at what they're doing. There's some like that. And when sometimes you have victory over that. You say, I'll just do it. I'll just bow my head. The more he talks, the louder I'm going to pray. But then sometime you'll find a place where somebody will say something about you behind your back and it'll cut you to the heart. And if you aren't careful, you lose the victory over that. Different giants use different tactics. The thing of it is this. We are not, this book tells us, we are not ignorant of His devices. Now, how do we know about His devices? We don't know it by natural wisdom. We don't know it just by listening to preaching. We know it by what He tells us about the devil in this book. And whenever we know the book and God tells us how He works and what He does, then we know His devices, and then whatever tactic He uses and whatever giant we face, we'll have the victory because God gives us the inside info. God has already done the espionage. God knows how He works. And God has told us and guarantees us the victory. Number three, not all giants are killed in the same way. Not all giants are killed in the same way. Man, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, when David went into the valley, I mean, he picks up five smooth stones. He puts one in that sling. Sling round and round, and he's running at the giant. He cuts that thing loose. Takes that giant right in the forehead. Goliath says, nothing like that ever entered my mind before. And it hadn't. And he knocked him down. And he didn't go away until he had finished him off. He didn't just knock him down and leave him there breathing. He went, took the sword, cut his head off. Man, Goliath came into the valley. Whenever he saw David, he said, what is this? What have you sent a kid to fight me? What is this dog that you send down here to fight me? He said, I'll feed your flesh to the birds today. Now, trash talking's not new. It's not new. David did it. Goliath did it. Goliath said, I'll kill you. I'll tear your flesh from your body. I'll feed your flesh to the birds. David said, you come on, big boy. I'm going to take your head from your shoulder today. He gave it right back to it. That's the courage of youth, I guess. The courage of youth. But he did it. And that's the way he killed Goliath. But none of the other giants were killed the same way. Do you understand that there was only one city in all of Israel? Whenever the children of Israel moved into the promised land, there was only one city that the walls fell down on. That was Jericho. Now, I want you to get this. I'm not going to labor this point, but I want you to get this. Sometimes people get victory over sin by putting some cards in their pocket, and they have cards that they have scripture verses on, and they're not doing it just for evangelism class. They're doing it to memorize verses, and whenever the temptation comes, they take out their cards and they begin working on their verses. Sometimes people get victory over sin, and whenever they don't know the Word of God, I've heard of people doing this. I don't recommend it, but they open the Bible, just let the Bible fall open, put their finger on a verse, and somehow God has used that at times, and He has used that at times. I don't recommend it, and it's not for people who know the book. But if you don't know the book, maybe God will use that. And it'll give victory at that time in their life. I had a friend who went back to an old country farm where he grew up, back in West Virginia. And he'd go back to this old oak tree, and he'd pray there for victory. He went back there one day and he was praying. He said, every time I go, he said, I have a problem in the church. That's where I go. He said, I went back there and prayed, pour out my heart to God. He said, called on heaven. He said, nothing happened. And I left in as bad a shape as I was when I went. This is the lesson I want you to get. If you have cards in your pocket, your Bible falls open, you read a particular chapter, you read a particular book, you go to a particular place to pray, whatever you do. Whatever you do. Understand this. We don't trust the method. We trust God who gives the victory. And whenever we get to where we trust a method, whether it's a method in victory over sin, whether it's a method in victory over a giant, whether it's a method in our Christian life, whether it's a method in church building or whatever, we don't trust the method. Now, methods are wonderful, and God uses methods, but we must not trust the method. We trust the God who gives the victory. Number four. Not all giants are killed by the same person. I like that. In here you have Jonathan, David's nephew. He gets a giant. Abishai, he gets a giant. All down through here. There's giants for everyone to face. You'll have this experience if you pastor, maybe even in your Christian life. If you're a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, church worker, a Christian school teacher, you'll have this experience. Somebody will come to you and say, I have a burden for so-and-so on my heart. My heart is so burdened for them. Would you go see them? Now, I say, yeah, I'll go see them. But I cannot go see them with your God-given burden. God has given you a burden. God has given you a place for victory. Don't let someone else have your victory. There's giants for everyone. Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Well, of course there's foes for me to face. All of us do. We all have a battle to fight. Don't pass it off to somebody else. Take the responsibility and the power of God and go forth in the victory of God that God has for us and has promised to us. Number five. Not everyone faces the same giant. If we were to stand in here and we wouldn't do it, and nobody would cooperate anyhow. But if I were to ask you to stand and say what your giant is, you probably would not do it. But if you did, other people around you would look at you and say, you mean that's a problem to you? You mean you have a difficulty with that? Man, that's no problem at all. But if you were to stand, the one who spoke to the other person who was telling their giant, if you were to stand and tell your giant, everybody would look at you and say, you're kidding. If I were to tell you my giant, you'd say, preacher, you mean that's a giant to you? That's ridiculous. We've got to be patient with each other while we face our giants. And what is a giant to you may not be a giant to me. And what is a giant to me may not be a giant to you. Two fellows had been out hunting. They were coming across the field. They had their shotguns broken down across their shoulder and walking away. All of a sudden, going across the field, big open field, they hear something behind them. They hear some snorting and some pawing of the ground. And they look around, and there's this big old bull looking at them. And they start looking for somewhere to go. They drop their shotguns and start running, the bull right after them. There's an oak tree out in the middle of the field. One fella's kind of tall, slender, athletic. The other fella's kind of short and some other problems, like me. Tall fella leaps and grabs a limb, swings himself up into the tree. Short fella like me, he jumps three or four times, that bull coming right at him. He jumps three or four times. He can't get the limb. He can't get it. Bull bearing right down on him. He looks down between the big old roots of that tree. There's a hole in there. He jumps in that hole, and the bull goes running by. He comes out of the hole, starts jumping again. The bull comes back at him. In the hole he goes. He comes out, starts jumping again. Finally, bull's coming at him. He comes in, he jumps, and the guy in the tree is leaning down and gets a hold of him and pulls him up in the tree. And he says to his friend, said, "Man, you were safe in the hole. Why didn't you just stay down there in the hole?" He said, "There's a bear in the hole." You don't know what the other person is facing. Be patient. The last point is this, number six. Sometimes you need help to kill a giant. Sometimes there's somebody you need to be accountable to in dealing with your giant. I'm glad that Abishai, whenever he saw the giant sneaking up behind David, I'm glad whenever he saw Ishbi-Benob coming up behind David, I'm glad he didn't step back and say, "Well, let's see how the giant killer does. I heard what he did as a kid. Let's see how he does now." I've heard stories about King David, how he killed the giant. Let's see how he does with this fella. I'm glad that Abishai jumped right in there with him and he said, "I will stand for my king and I will help him out." I don't know about you, but I'm happy for the times that people come to my aid. And whenever someone works up the courage to come to your aid, dearly beloved, you don't need to say to them, "Oh, don't you worry about me. I'll be all right. I can take care of myself. You tend to your own problems. I got enough problems of my own." If somebody comes up, puts their hand on you and says, "Listen, I just noticed some things in your life and I want you to know I'm praying for you. And if there's any way I can be a blessing to you, I want to be a blessing to you." You better be kind and be thankful and be gracious because you may need help to kill that giant. It's so hard to do that. Because we're afraid we're going to be rejected, it's so hard to be a friend and be a Christian friend and be all the Word of God says to us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. "Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one, considering yourself lest you be tempted." Not lest you yield, but lest you be tempted. Listen, young people. We're to be giant killers. I don't know what the giants are in your life. And I wouldn't get arrogant about it if I were you. But I would stay in this book. I'd learn the techniques of the giant. All that he brings on. Know his methods and know his ways. And know how he works. And claim the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I wonder how many of you here this morning, just in all honesty, just between me and you and God, you'd say, "Preacher, I got a giant. It's intimidating me. In my life, it insults the power of God. and it keeps me from going forth in God's work. I've got a giant. But by God's grace and by God's help, I am determined to have the victory over that giant. Would you just slip your hand up? What a wonderful sight. What a wonderful sight. Just right up, right back down. What a wonderful sight. That means that God is working to give you victory all over this place. Father, I thank You for the assured victory we have, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Give victory in every one of our lives as we look to You and depend on You and trust You for that assured victory You've already won.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. John Reynolds, pastor of Volusia County Baptist Church in Orange City, Florida. For a cassette tape containing yesterday's and today's messages by Dr. Reynolds, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.